saints. If you were here last Sunday night, this message will be more intelligible to you tonight. But if not, we trust that you will get the sense of the message to some degree anyway. We'd like you to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Zadokite saints. I'll give you just a moment to find it. Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers of war. Now this book of Chronicles is not a personal history of David, although we find David throughout the book, but rather it is the establishment of kingly power in the house of David, according to God's ordination. And this is what we see God doing, establishing his kingly power in his house, according to God's ordination. You know that David is the type of Jesus Christ, who's so often called the greater David. And we want you to bear that in mind throughout the message tonight. This book retells the book of Kings, but it retells it from a different aspect. It retells it from Adam through to the building of the temple of Solomon and of the refinding of the law. I am going to preach one of these days on the correlation of the same truths in Kings and Chronicles. But in Chronicles, they're seeing it in a new light. And the focus is now on the temple. And the problems of David with Bathsheba and so forth are not seen. It's hidden because God is teaching a new aspect, a new truth. And this book was compiled and brought together after the exile, after a restoration, for God to teach the restoration truths. The mighty men who shared David's sufferings and David's rejections by going with him now share his glory in this book. Their names and their deeds are entered on imperishable tablets in his kingdom. All who suffer with Christ shall reign with Christ, the scripture says. And our names and our deeds shall go in his armory. These men became mighty because they became companions with David. Many of these same men had been with King Saul, but they were not called mighty and did not become men of valor until they became companions with David. You know, we do not really become mighty until we can become companions with the Lord Jesus Christ. When these men were with Saul, they were overcome by the Philistines. But when they were with David, they overcame the Philistines. You were overcome by the enemy of your soul when you still were under the King Saul. But when you came to Jesus, then you begin to overcome the enemy that's in your life. David's spirit made his men men of valor. And the spirit of Jesus makes us men of valor. Hallelujah. We see here in verse 1 that David was a fugitive in the land of the Philistines. And we see that in this time David fled from Saul, who was king of Israel, because he sought his life. We see that the greater David, Jesus Christ, at a certain time in his ministry, also left and fled, as it were, from King Herod, who sought his life, who also was king of that territory in Judea. These mighty men, these helpers of the war, were men that joined him at Ziklag. Now, Ziklag, unlike most of the names of the places of the Bible, is unknown as to its meaning. They don't know what its meaning is. Not even sure, maybe even had a meeting. It was called Ziklag. They don't know anything about it. It was a town in the wilderness of Judea. And you know, we join him at a place where there is no popularity there. At a place that is not known. It's nowhere, as it was. It's out in the wilderness. It's not any great way station. We haven't come to anything yet. We find in verse 2, they were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left hand in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. It's not very often you find men so ambidextrous, a whole army of them, that can shoot right-handed or left-handed or sling stones with either one. But God had these ones, and if I don't miss my guess, He had them, and He had them all lined up because they show something. God wants His people to be able to handle them with the right hand or with the left. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And then we find that later, others begin to come to David. And these people, they had been neutral, or they had been somewhat of an enemy. Anyway, it was questionable whether they were for David or not. They wasn't quite trusted because of their past. And so we find in verses 16 and 17, and there came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David. Now, these people came from Benjamin and Judah. They were in the covenant, even of Judah. And David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if ye become peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if you become to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. Then the Spirit came upon Amasiah, who was the chief of the captains, and he said, thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace. Peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them and made them captains of the band. Now God is bringing in people that are questionable characters. They haven't always been on His side. You know, people are not sure, are you for us or are you against us? Well, here comes in God's frozen people to become God's chosen people. Here becomes the complainers. These are the people that are against tongues. This was a person, like one man said, I just got through writing my doctorate thesis to disprove speaking in tongues, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost. He had to change sides like Saul of Tarsus. These people are switching over. But you're not quite sure when you see them whose side they are, and you see them come in. But they say, we're going to be on your side. Later, others came. And these others that came in, they came to help David. But they didn't help him. Verse 19. And there fell some of Manasseh to David when he came with the Philistines against Saul to battle, but they helped them not. For the lords of the Philistines, upon advisement, sent him away, saying he will fall into his master Saul to the jeopardy of our heads. So these people came in. They're like, oh, those that come into Christ, they come in to help. But then they are advised by other, the devil's sort, not to help, not to work. And so they don't help in the work of God. Now, why do you think the Holy Spirit told this? Why these details? Who cares as long as he won the battle? Of course, these people, they came, he wasn't sure. And these people came and they said they would help, but they didn't. And these people came. Why all the little different distinctions? If they are not type for us upon whom the ends of the world have come to show us the different types of those that come to Christ and what they do. Then still more joined them in verse 20. And we read in 21, and they helped David against the band of the rovers, for they were all mighty men of valor and were captains in the host. More joined and they helped. In fact, more kept on joining until they became a great host. Verse 22, for at that time, day by day, there came unto David to help him, until there was a great host like the host of God. Hallelujah. They're coming into God and on the building and the building until finally there's a great host like unto the host of God who they are. Hallelujah. There was a great mass coming in to work for Jesus Christ in the last days. Now in the last joining was Zadok. It doesn't mean that he was the very last to join. He wasn't named last. But he was not in the earlier days, nor in the middle days. But he was of those in the last days that came to join him. Now, Judah came with 6,800, I'll keep it in thousands, 6,800 men ready armed. Now, God says a certain thing about each group. Judah came out of Judah came 6,800 men ready armed. Now this is talking about the last days. Coming at the time now when Zadok comes. And there are others besides Zadok. And so out of this denomination come 6,800 and they're ready armed. They have been training, they have been practicing, they've got armed ready. Then Simeon comes with 7,100 mighty men of valor. Out of that denomination comes these men that's a mighty men of valor. Now the others didn't come, but the mighty ones did. The pastors, the leaders, the Sunday school teachers, the various ones who've been walking with God, the various prayer warriors, the intercessors, and others, they came and joined Jesus Christ in the last days, typologically speaking. Then Benjamin comes with 3,000, but most of them stayed with Saul. And then many stayed with Saul. Now, just a minute, let me check something here. Yes. For hitherto the greatest part of them had kept the ward of the house of Saul. Now, Ephraim came with 20,800. Now, he was the firstborn of Joseph. And they came, they were men of valor, and they were famous. These were the famous ones that came out of them. Half of the tribe of Manasseh. Came with 18,000. And these ones were expressed by name. They were noted men. Zebulun came with 50,000. And they could keep rank in battle. They knew how to do battle and hold rank and not break up under the enemy. And they did not have a double heart. And they were expert in war. And out of this denomination came 50,000 that did not break rank without double heart. They had one single heart. And they were expert in war. They knew the word of God. They knew how to take care of the demons and the false prophets and the rest. And then out of Naphtali came 37,000 with 1,000 captains. They had many that had brought to a place where they had many captains. Then Dan came with 28,600 expert in war. And then Asher came with 40,000 expert in war. And then we have to look to the other side of Jordan, to the three tribes of Reuben and Gad and the other half tribe of Manasseh. They were from the other side, the scripture says. They were not from this side, but the other side. You understand? They were from the other side. They were the denomination on the other side. But they came over, crossed the Jordan. They came with 120,000 between the three of them. And then the Levites, which were the priests, which are the ministers, and out of the ministerial ranks came 4,600. Many of the ministers came out in the last days. And then verse 28, and Zadok, a young man, mighty of valor, and of his father's house, 22 captains. Now here, they're talking about whole tribes. This denomination came, and this denomination came, and this denomination, also the name of man, Zadok. They're not naming all the rest of the men. Here comes a man, and they name a man all by himself, right with a tribe, and here's the man called Zadok. Single him out by name. It says he was young. He wasn't an old Pentecostal. Way back when. He wasn't the old group, that is. He were people of the new age, in the last days. He wasn't back from way on back sometimes. He was mighty in valor. Mighty in valor. And he came with 22 captains. 22 captains. The world came with him were all captains. All 22. He didn't have any privates and sergeants and corporals and so forth. They were captains that he came with. Now all are not Zadok's, you notice. And all of these joined David at Hebron. Now Hebron means community or alliance. Isn't it interesting that they all join him at alliance? They all joined them together. They came in alliance in the last days. By God's Spirit, God called those that were we with David, and he brought them together. Now, there were heroes of the very first group, right after verse 1, that are singled out and named. He does name a list of heroes. And then some of the latter group, in the next group, he also comes in the next group, and he names the number of those heroes. And so it is in the New Testament. After David, Jesus Christ comes on the scene, he names. There's Paul, and there's Barnabas, and there's Timothy, and there's Silas, and there's John, and there's Peter, and there's James, and so forth. He names them. There's some singled out. And so it is with the second group in church history. See, there's Zwingli and there's Huss and there's Knox and so forth. They're singled out also. Now, of the last group, in the last days, only two are named, Zadok and Jehoiada. Now, Jehoiada, it was the leader of the Aaronites. So of Aaron, those that after came of the tribe of Aaron. He was the father of Benaiah, David's general. He was the chief priest. Now, we see here that besides Zadok, that there are those that are non-Zadokites, and they're both of Levi, you understand. They're both ministers, both of the priesthood. There is also the non-Zadokites that come with fame to help Jesus Christ in the last days. Not only Zadok, but God's going to have heroes of some of those that won't make up the Zadokite priesthood. Although they're from the Aaronic priesthood, they're the tribe of Levi, then according to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, I believe it was, last week, from chapter 44, that there was a difference in the tribe of Levi and of the priests that come from Levi and those from the house of Zadok. And there's going to be a difference, but God still has heroes from those who are not of the tribe of Zadok, which takes the ministry while the others take of the word, while the others take the ministry of the taking care of the house and the things of the house of God. Now they all feasted and rejoiced together with David 3 days at Hebron, or Alliance. There was a rejoicing. There was a feasting when they came together, when they saw each other come out over the hills, and they were separate tribes and separate people. When they saw each other coming, and here all they come ready for war, and they all came in to watch their armies all come. That's a lot of people there. And when they came, they had a feast. They rejoiced. Hallelujah. David was there. It was David. He was a fugitive. And all of a sudden, here comes the armies. Here they come. In all directions. From all over the hillsides. And they join him and find him in that obscure place. And all of a sudden, he's got an army. And the people said, who hath seen such a thing? Shall an army be born at once? Now, others stayed with Saul. You understand that in the last days, there's going to be others that are going to stay with Saul. They're going to stay with the nation. They're still going to be religious. But they are those that are seeking the life of David. They are those that are against him. And then there are those who are outside the covenant altogether. Those that are not Israelites, those that are not saved. But there are going to be those who are in the covenant who are going to work against Jesus. They are not going to move in. And they are going to be there, although they were called to work with him, they are not going to come across. And there's going to be that conflict that is there, but God will take care of it. Now, Benjamin was small. They were the smallest house. And they only came with 3,000. They lost many of them to Saul. But Judah, oh, they were the Jews, laid in captivity, they were a large tribe. But they only came with 6,800. Whereas Ephraim came with 20,800 and Zebulun with 50,000. Judah should have come with a large number. But out of that tribe, which was the Jews and which those were in a position to have something in God with the temple and the priest and all the rest were, there weren't too many that actually came in the very last of time to work with Jesus in the restoration and the setting up of his kingdom. Not too many of them came. Most of them fell away. Most of them fell with Saul because it was traditional. They was their king in the past. They stayed with the past instead of moving into the future. So we see those. It varies. 100,000 will come from this denomination and 1,000 from that denomination and 2 million from that denomination. It is not the same. You see it out there today. It is not the same. But God will have those who will hear his word. If you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 15, please. Starting with verse 4. Absalom said, now David was king at this time. Absalom said, moreover, O Oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. See? Oh, I want to be leader. Let him come to me, and I'll set the way that's right. Man's way. Absalom's way. That fair-haired youth with the long hair that was so proud of it. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and he took him and kissed him. Those that came to him, oh, he just made all to do with them. He did wonderful, took him on in and established his heart with him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. In the last days there shall be those that shall steal the hearts of God's people. They shall be handsome, fair-haired, and marred. And the marred and all their approach, and they shall work to take everything into their own hands. And the things with their smooth, oiled tongues are going to steal the hearts of the people. And then in verse 10, but Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. He was setting up so they could take over. Now, this is in the church I'm talking about. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called. And they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And that's what we find today. Right out of Jerusalem, they leave, and they know not anything. Amen. They go in their simplicity. They have the slightest idea what they're doing. But they think they're going the right way. And I'm going to read verse 12, the last verse, last sentence. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. They continued to get more people and more people and more people. And they weren't following Christ as much, but they were following the others then who were leading and preaching and developing and claiming all kinds of things. Until Jesus was not the focal point of attention, but Absalom was. David was not accepted as king after this. And there are many today that are not accepting him as the king of their life. David's household stayed with him. His inner circle, those closest to him, stuck by him. Those closest to Jesus will stick by him. He left. He left Jerusalem. He didn't fight it. He left this area. He had quite a lot of men. He had quite an army. But he sensed that this thing was too big, that it was not a time to fight, and he pulled away. He just backed off. And he left 10 concubines. Now, he took his wife, but he left his concubines. His concubines were half-wives. They were the servant wives. He was legally married to them. He could have relations with them. They could come into his bedchamber and into his home. But he would not keep them as informed of his heart as his wives, as his full wives. He would not see them as much, have them as much, or love them as much. They were wives that had to do a lot of work around, as opposed to the wives that didn't have to, who were queens. These concubine wives were legal wives. They were those who didn't have the same kind of spiritual relationship with them, with Jesus Christ. But those that were servant wives and legalist wives, and those you see in a category that were workers rather than his love by faith and choice. He left them. He left them there. He left them there. Do you understand what I'm saying? He left them. He could not take them with him. Zadok was appointed to be the mediator of communication between the greater David, who was now in a far country, with those who had gone with him. You know, there are those who have gone with him to a far country. And Zadok was appointed to go back, and he was appointed to go with them. to Jerusalem. Because he was the one that had the God-given position of the high priest and could stand and could communicate and be the mediator between Jesus Christ, who had gone on, and between those who were left in Jerusalem and were not in the shape that they should be. And he would have a people in the last days that would represent Jesus Christ to them and them to Christ and be the mediator and go between and act in that priesthood of believers and anointed and appointed specially under God that he might again bring Jesus Christ and his people together. In verse 23, we read, "And all the country wept with a loud voice," because David was leaving now, "and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness." They were going out now of fame. "And lo, Zadok also and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into your city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show both me it and his habitation." And Jesus is going to come again. And he's not only going to come again as the King of Glory in the second coming, but he is going to come to the hearts of his people again in Jerusalem. "But if he say, thus I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him." In other words, if he doesn't want Jesus Christ, let him go ahead. Let him blaspheme him. Let him do what he wants. David said, don't fight him. Just go ahead and let him do anything he wants to me. "The king said also unto Zadok the priest," this is not the time yet to come in judgment, Art not thou a seal?" he said to Zadok. "Return into the city in peace, and you two sons with you. Ahimaaz, thy son, and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar." So Zadok came back, and he had two sons with him. They weren't Zadok, but they were sons of Zadok. They were brought up by him. They were the same blood as him. They had passed down from him. They were those coming back into the city with him. He had two sons came out from him. "See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me." Jesus couldn't come into their midst. And he said, until there comes word to certify. When you've done your work there, the people's hearts are turned toward me, then I will come to them. "Zadok, therefore, and Abiathar carried the ark of God again to Jerusalem, and they tarried there." Verse 30, "And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, and he wept as he went up. And he had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head. And they went up weeping as they went up." They are those that had gone on before. And they were weeping because God's people were not loving him and serving him and acknowledging him as Lord and King. Then we come to verse 31. "And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." Now there is Ahithophels out here that are wise in their own knowledge. They're very smart men and leaders. But they will turn against Jesus Christ. Ahithophel means brother of folly. They were in folly. They turned. They tried to make everything into themselves. They tried to heap riches in themselves, and they turned. His counsel was so highly esteemed that he had his advice had the authority of the divine oracle to the people. When Ahithophel spoke, people considered it as God. And there are those out here that are leaders and men of renown that when they speak, the people consider it as the voice of God, but they are in fact brothers of folly. They are brothers. They're brothers. But they are folly. And they are turning. And having turned, they now come to do David harm. And the Lord works so that his smart advice to hurt David, to hurt Christ, was not followed. And in fact, instead, the people followed foolish advice to hurt David and did not prosper. Because God saw to it that these people who had power and their smartness was not followed. They followed foolish advice. And the people, this is the way to go. And it didn't work out. God is going to turn the thing by his own power. And the smartness of these people that have got power to hurt David and his men are not going to be able to do it. Chapter 16 and verse 22. These scriptures, they come right down the line in the last days, chapter after chapter after chapter, wherever you turn, they just fit exactly over and over and over again. You have to see it in a great mass to marvel at it. And otherwise, of all Israel. Now Absalom stole the love of David's concubines, and he took them for his publicly for everybody to see. He wanted everybody in Israel to see, I can take David's concubine wives for mine. They're mine. And I am going to take them, and then my name will be on them. I have them, they belong to me. And I'm going to do it publicly so everybody knows they belong to me. I have usurped his position. And so they are going to usurp his position, and those that were concubine wives instead of queens are going to find themselves in alliance with Absalom instead of with the greater David. Unashamed deviation from David. You know, I am amazed at the unashamed deviation from David that I am seeing among many ministers today. And I'm not here to run down ministers of God. God forbid. Nonetheless, there are ministers out there that are Zadoks. And there are ministers out there that are Jehoiadas. And there's ministers out there that are Joab generals. And there are men out there that are Ahithophels. And there's men out there that are Absaloms. And I am amazed how these Absaloms can deviate in rebellion from the word of God and care not a straw and do it publicly. And out on the housetop they proclaim it. I am absolutely amazed how they can do such a thing. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired of the oracle of God. Now, to make a long story short, we want to jump down to chapter 17, verse 1. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed. I will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. He says, now, we're not going to get rid of the people. We're going to get rid of Jesus. We'll take the people unto us, and I will bring back all the people unto thee. They're going to all follow Absalom. Jesus will not be the center of attention anymore. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned, so all the people shall be in peace. But I want to tell you that Ahithophel failed, and he hung himself. Chapter 19, verse 1. And it was told Joab, who was David's general, behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people, for the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. And the people gat them by stealth that day into the city, as people being ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son! And Joab came into the house of the king and said, thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which this day have saved thy life, and the lives of thy sons, and of thy daughters, and the lives of thy wives, and the lives of thy concubines, in that thou lovest thine enemies, and hatest thy friends, For thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived, and all we had died this day, then it had pleased thee well. Now therefore arise, go forth, and speak comfortably unto thy servants, for I swear by the Lord, if thou go not forth, there will not tarry one with thee this night, and that will be worse unto thee than all the evil that befell thee from thy youth until now. Then the king arose and sat in the gate. And they told unto all the people, saying, Behold, the king doth sit in the gate. And all the people came before the king, for Israel had fled every man into his tent. And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, The king saved us out of the hand of our enemies, and he delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines, and now he is fled out of the land for Absalom. And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now therefore, why speak ye not a word to bring the king back? And King David sent to Zadok and to Abiathar, the priests, saying, Speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, Why are ye the last to bring the king back to his house? Seeing the speech of all Israel is come to the king, even to his house. Ye are my brethren, ye are my bones and my flesh. Wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king? Now we see here that when Absalom died, David mourned after his son who was trying to kill him so much. He was so grieved. He said, I'm not going to observe any classes of people today. It's the day of mourning. And everybody was in a quandary, and they were grieved because David was so grieved. Here we see the grief. Joab, his general, was a man who was used to killing by the sword. And he came up to David and said, you are grieving the people here. You're grieving yourself to death over your son. He was your enemy. And we saved you. We came out, the whole armies came out and defeated them. And now you're mourning over the leader of insurrection. And David said, Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son, if we don't see Jesus here loving those who turned against him, I don't know who we see. We see Jesus because Absalom was not some flunky out in the bush someplace. He was the very son of David in a high place. But as he had gone to a place where he pulled his head every year. His big long hair was so important. He stood so high, he called 50 men out in chariots. He was going to be great. He aspired and his ego got away with him. He was going to take over things. And when God finds some of those who are out in the fields, they have done great vast missionary works. They've been on radio and television for years. They have preached to the people. They've had gifts of the Spirit. They were the very Son of God in high places. They should have been the next one to the throne. And they have turned against them in the last hour. And Jesus loves them. And he's grieved over them. And when they fall in battle and die and they go to hell, he is grieved, he's grieved, he's grieved. They were men of God. They were his own son of his own heart. God cares. But my friend, don't stand up and brag every Absalom all the way to his death, because you're going to have to choose whether you're for Absalom or whether you're not. There are too many people clapping for Absalom when he's turned against David. We know we can't grieve for him like Jesus can, and that is shown right here. Even his generals can't grieve for him like Jesus. They go out to down him, and then it's a necessity, but Jesus cares. Joab said, if you don't get out and do something, there's not going to anybody be left. Shall faith be found in Israel? There won't be any faith left. If you don't come back, there won't be any faith left. The people are getting weak. The people are in their minds, in their hearts. But then he came to sit in the gate. That means he came to do business, to speak to the people. And they finally are saying, Jesus is now going to give information and revelation to his people. Let's go and sit in the gate with him and find out what he has to say in the last hour of the day. And he says, Zadok, faithful Zadok, who stood by me. You go to the elders of Israel and say, why are you so late in calling the king back? They said to the king, how come you're so late? And he turned around and says, how come you haven't called me back? If you want me back, call me back. I'm not going to just come until you call me back. Now you elders, you that are over the people, If you will call me back, the people will accept me. And if you don't call me back, the people won't. I'm not going to come back. You call me back, then I'll come back. But Zadok, they need somebody to tell them this. I can trust you. You go back. You're the ones I'm going to delegate to go back and tell them and put them in mind to call the king back. And the Zadoks are going to go forth and call the king back. And he's going to come back and he's going to rule. Hallelujah. Amen. And Zadok is going to be his high priest. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. This message is continued next Sunday night. You may stand.